Good evening, City Council work session for November 21st, 2016, a budget session, and our Finance Director, Salmanen. I think that you're in the lead position here. Is that correct? Or?
Yep.
Go to it. We're with you.
Okay. So I have passed out a few pages for all of you. So the first one is the colored one. This is a revision from your original one that looks like this with the green. The orange has all the revisions in it, and the first page doesn't have any. But if you go to the second page, you'll notice how I did it. It's just a line item revision, and then I totaled the line item. So just so you don't get confused, but you probably put notes on your other one, and I wanted to make it kind of easier for you. So then if you would go to the very last page, there is a change. The orange is the new revised budget, the $30,888,000. The one on the green column, so the $32,000 is what was on your sheet before. The total is actually $30,000. I think I've mentioned the way Vision does all the totals, it kind of messes things up. So I had added capital expenditure to it. So I was thinking of keeping it in there. I thought it could be our slush fund.
So you're allowed to tell us.
The new new total is in the orange box, and that is 21.5% less than last year, or this year's budget, 2016, and that's due to capital expenditures that we're not doing. So that's mainly that's why it's so much lower.
So just less projects.
Yeah, just less projects. Okay. Exactly. So then I want to. Point out the second packet before we go into the line items. The second packet with the paper clip. These are the very first one you haven't seen. This is, I think, what you were asking for, the full-time equivalent. So this is how many employees we have that are full-time equivalent. And then from there, you will find each fund that is on your expenditure sheet. It's a summary with the revenues and the expenditures and the beginning balance, ending balance. It has everything on there as a summary. So it just, it's all in order and current expense. It just goes in order. And you have these before. And what I did was the orange marks on the pages, on some of the pages, those are the changes that I made. So if you had notes on your previous ones, and look at those changes, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Okay, so the third packet, it says executive miscellaneous on the first page. You were asking at the last budget session for some detail reports. These are all detail reports. Some of them are ones you asked for, and some of them I've kind of anticipated that you will ask for them. So, and you might not, but you have them here. A lot of them, I think, are kind of miscellaneous because that's always an odd category, and some that we've spent more money this year than was in the budget. So these, when they come up in the line items as we go through those, we can look at that, but I wouldn't recommend pouring through it until you have a question in your expenditure line item. So what I'm thinking is, want to just continue on from where we left off? I know some of you were not there, correct?
Brent and Teresa?
Yeah, should we just... I think we should just continue where we left off.
Sure.
Something like page 21.
Looks like consensus up here.
Page 7.
Good try, though.
So now, I think some of these are a page off because I needed to fit everything on the sheet. So it might not be exactly the same.
Just close, just like a few lines, five or six lines.
Yeah. Did you say page 7?
Mm-hmm. Probation and parole services is where we left off.
Can I ask a question?
This time.
We have a couple of questions that we identified on the pages before 7.
Yeah.
Page 4, I circled quite a few things that we talked about. Page 6, there were two different lines for the Fund 550. So I'm just wondering if you had questions on anything that we've already brought up. If we have
answers
on any of that yet,
should
we move forward?
On page 3, you wanted a detailed report, and it is in your packet.
Okay.
Page 4, there were 3 detailed reports, and they're in your packet also. I think one of them was a professional services expenditures this year of $38,000, and the budget was $2,400. If you want to look at those, the detail report is in order.
Okay.
So if you just flip kind of on, it's on the right-hand side, you'll see a page number. And it actually refers to the new page number, but it's pretty close.
Okay.
So, and you can go by the GL number. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So just let me know if you want to look at any detail, and then I'll take you there.
Okay, I guess the big one was page 6. There were 2 separate lines for Fund 550.
One of them is the Vehicle Rental Fund 550, and that is transferring funds into 550 for repairs and maintenance and things like that. And then the one that says new is for new vehicles. And this is also on your account, your packet with the paperclip. It's the very last one, and you'll see accounts. You'll see on there on the 2016 where that's coming in.
Okay. Because the year-to-date on the new one was considerably less than the budget, and yet the budget was the same for next year.
Some of these, we're not done with the year yet, so some of these will be transferred as we go. So it could be at the end of the year that we're up to our budget.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, read them.
Councilmember Watson.
Yeah, on page 4, it was initially line 137, but it's miscellaneous bank fees. It was $17,000. I see the breakdown here on 518904900. I'm just wondering, that's $11,000 over budget. So I'm trying to see what are all these things.
If you take your details,
mm-hmm. I've got it open.
Got it. Page 4. So it's miscellaneous, including bank fees. Some of these Office Depot, I have no idea. That was January, without pulling invoices.
Okay.
Is there a specific one that you're...
No, I'm just curious how it went. Because miscellaneous bank fees, I assume that meant banking fees, like when you transfer money or something and they charge you a fee. This looks like it's actually, is this just credit cards?
Credit card fees. It would be credit card fees. I don't know what Office Depot is. And clean water services.
I guess I'm just curious what this fund is going to be used for, because we had $6,000. It was budgeted for $6,000. $17,000 was spent. And so we've upped the budget, but I'm just trying to understand what we're upping the budget for.
Right. Do you know, Greg, what all these...
Some I know.
Well, curious, Department of Commerce, on February 19th, Department of Commerce, we paid $8,645.92.
Yeah, we'll probably need to actually pull that individual. Now, the Department of Commerce...
That just seems like an odd thing to come out of this particular fund.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We just need to pull that individual invoice. It might just be a one-off one that really didn't have. It says funding return.
Yeah, this one.
Oh, I know what that is. Back. This is, wow. Part of my brain just kicked on. It's been off for a while.
Oh, it's exciting.
Back when we did the Whatcom Energy Challenge, if any of you remember that, it was a program whereby we teamed up with Whatcom County and the city of Bellingham and the, I want to say not resources, not Sustainable Connections, that's what it was.
And
together we wrote
you're
a
doing
grant
Nancy
application.
Reagan.
The idea was to get folks who their homes needed weatherized, And one of the thoughts was that perhaps one of the reasons why these people didn't get their homes weatherized is that they didn't have access to capital. So this program provided a couple of things. One is it paid for them to come in and do an energy audit to say if you replace your windows, you get so much. If you insulate your attic, you get that much. If you replace your water heater, this much. So the grant paid for the audit, and then the bigger part of the grant paid for, we bought down, the grant did, the grant bought down the interest rate that the bank would charge these individuals to get a loan to weatherize their house.
And
the thought is that these people, they wanted to weatherize their home, it's just that they didn't have the credit or what have you to get a loan. So when they got a loan, it was high interest rate. They'd actually paid down some of the interest on it. That program went on for a while. It became clear that the barrier to having these folks weatherize their homes was not so much the access to capital. So that part of the grant was severely underutilized. Every time we did do a loan, a portion of our proceeds went into a loan loss reserve. So the bank not only got paid a little less interest, but they had collateral on hand. So as we transferred the money into the loan loss reserve, as they paid down their loans, that money was supposed to be freed up to flow back over to the lending side of the fund. Anyway, a couple years later, the program kind of ran its course. And there was some excess funds left over, funds that were not needed for the reserve at the bank and funds that folks had not availed themselves as for low-interest loans. So we, us, Bellingham and the county, went through a rather arduous process with the Department of Commerce trying to figure out whose money that was. Because some of it was interest. Is it still federal money? That really was a question we had to ask. And so at a long and tedious process, it came back that a portion of the money is still federal funds and needed to either be used the way it was anticipated or repaid to the Department of Commerce. So this is our proportional reimbursement back to the Department of Commerce for those unused Whatcom Energy Challenge dollars.
Makes sense. And I do remember that. So that. That accounts for a lot of those charges. It makes sense that they're bank charges.
Okay. I guess that just seems like an odd thing to put it under miscellaneous bank fees.
We couldn't figure out a place to put it. I mean, it was a bank.
Did we didn't have a line item for the grant initially? It just got thrown into...
We didn't hold any of the money. We were simply one of the signers, one of the applicants on the loan. There was a fiscal agent, the city of Bellingham, since they do weatherization and low-income housing, and they're much more staffed up to handle these kind of things. We had an arrangement where they were the fiscal agent. And so Bellingham and the county kind of operated the fund, but we met as a group because we had to work with the bank to figure out how much needed to go into the loan loss reserve, how much could flow back. And anyway, this was our... Since we were one of the original recipients, even though we passed it over.
So even though we didn't have the money, Bellingham had the money,
because
we still had to pay back the money.
When the bank refunded it, they couldn't refund it to Bellingham or the county because the refund would have been in excess of their participatory percentage. They had to refund it to us, according to the feds. It had to be complicated. And this was the Department of Commerce's complicated solution to their issue.
Councilmember Seller.
So that was a one-time thing, and it's
done. It's gone now, yeah.
So why did we increase the budget for next year for that line item?
That's only 8,000 off of there, so we've got, what, 9,000?
Nine.
Yeah. Okay. But 12.
Yeah. I did not know that detail.
Yeah.
And we don't know what our bank charges will be. If we don't use them, we don't use them.
Yeah. You know? And because this is kind of a catch-all, we didn't know if there were other one-off things coming up. We had no idea when we entered into the Walking Mary Challenge that eventually we'd get this money back that we never really had and then had to send it back. So it was just a way to I think, put budget where potentially it could be used.
Councilmember Burrish.
And on the second page of that, the June 2016 analysis service charge, what is that? What is the definition of that?
That is the
July 12th.
Bank service charge, that's what they call it.
For $4,000?
Yeah, we get, I think it's is it quarterly or?
Yeah, depending on how much money we have on our, we have money in our checking account at either KeyBank or Banner Bank, whatever, wherever we're banking at. And then the excess monies, because we have millions of dollars, we don't want to keep millions and millions of dollars in a checking account. So we go out and buy investments for the monies we don't need for a long time. The excess monies that we need for a shorter period of time, we put into the state investment pool. And so there's a balance between keeping enough money in our checking account to minimize the bank fees and not having so much in there that we're giving up interest that we would be receiving through the state investment pool. It's kind of a moving target, but quarterly they true it up to say, you said you were going to have $2 million here for 4 days, you only had this much, for 5 days you had that much. And so it's a reconciliation according to our banking agreement.
$4,200 just because, I mean,
because we had money in the bank.
You need another bank.
We've actually changed a couple of times. So they buy new bank stock. Anyway, part of it is, you know, they don't charge for checks. They don't do for this. As long as you keep a compensating balance, and so it's in those months when the compensating balance drops below a certain amount that we actually incur fees.
I think most of us here are probably used to free banking. So
right.
That makes sense for the city to need charges like that.
Yeah, we try to get it, but when it comes to commercial free banking is a lot harder to find than personal free banking.
But if you can find that, just let me know if you can find free banking for us.
I just was surprised we just spent $4,200 just because we didn't have enough money in the account. I mean,
yeah. Well, at times there's also the amount of deposits they take and they charge. We can pull the agreement and we've shopped around a couple times. What bank is this at right now?
KeyBank.
Yeah. Years ago, we were with Key. We went over to Banner Bank because they gave us a much better deal. When they realized, Banner realized how much of a better deal we were getting, they changed the fee structure. So then we went back to KeyBank because KeyBank is actually more convenient for us, and the fees are now comparable between the two.
Okay.
Not really, but moving on.
Sorry.
If we're done with the bank fees, then I have a question about the wetlands mitigation. The detailed just has three transfers.
What page are you on?
Are you on the white ones?
Page four.
Oh, okay. It's line 141.
141.
Got it. Thank
you. Pages and lines are helpful.
So we had budgeted for 10,000. We spent 32,000 plus. So next year's budget is at 25. I'm just curious why we were so much.
That's on page four of the handout.
Not much. 149.12. Yeah, no explanation, just that money went away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says transfer out. It'd be helpful if it said where it went. It might have gone into the storm fund, or I don't know where we would. We do have some wetland monitoring responsibilities down at Conoco, as well as the wetlands around City Hall. And also, when we created the storm pond off of Douglas, we also created some wetlands out there that have a requirement for monitoring.
I know that we did a substantial amount of work at the library wetlands this year. And so
yeah, the library as well.
System and doing that for the mitigation of the part of wetland mitigation is that that was a fairly significant cost. We had some invasive plants that were in there that had to be removed, and then an irrigation system to water the wetlands.
And that was for this year.
Yeah,
that work was done since I've been here. So
yeah. We probably would need to trace this transfer out to a transfer into whatever fund that transferred into, and then find the line item, and then again run a report for those expenditures. Because the expenditures were not made out of current expense. The money was simply transferred to another fund in which the expenditure was made. So that's going to take a little more chasing.
Like
we can figure it out.
Maybe storm.
No, it might be storm, yeah.
So did the 25,000, go ahead, Rebecca.
Just do we have more projects planned for this year since we're going to 25 for this year?
I think once we figure out with some specificity as to what we use the money for, that might help answer that question. And do we expect to spend it this next year?
Good questions.
On that same page, there was a question under law enforcement administration medical. There was nothing budgeted for this year, and now there's $23,480 budgeted. Mm-hmm. That is for medical for the new chief. There is a medical opt out, and so now we've put in.
And the new chief will need, okay.
Yeah, the new
okay.
chief.
And we don't know if the new chief will indeed take medical and to what configuration, or perhaps like our retiree chief would opt out. That's a possibility.
Okay.
Let's keep moving there.
Are we on page 8? I had two questions on page 8, line 332.
Old page 8 or new page 8?
Oh, sorry. They're on the old page 8. Because that's where my notes are.
They are almost the same. So.
Okay. The line number is going to change, though. Let me.
Yeah.
I guess the new one is line 332. We had budgeted $24,000 for building maintenance. We only spent $10,000, so we're doing less this year. I'm just curious why we spent less. And what is this on line 335, the miscellaneous, the $13,272? Is that in here?
Yes, it is. You
okay. Thank you.
On that.
51830.
So the question is, why did we put less? Well, we put less because we didn't spend it, so maybe we won't spend.
You never quite know what's going to break.
You just don't know, right.
How many hot water heaters or whatever.
Right.
Because it's building maintenance, and we had talked about redoing the bathrooms, where's the bathroom, the Star Park bathroom money going to come out of, and where would the money come out of for, like, a new fieldhouse bathroom? Because this is building maintenance, and we didn't spend it all.
Those wouldn't be under thoughts.
Go ahead.
I would say the Star Park bathroom and where the fieldhouse location would be under capital, not under maintenance line item.
It's on page
10. Maintenance would be, you know, just repairs or general maintenance to the.
Would that include the redoing of the bathroom behind Jolcom?
Yeah, that could be maintenance or it could be capital. It's one of those.
whether it's a renovation or a maintenance cost. If it's if we're actually renovating a bathroom, we can utilize a different funding source for that. We could actually pay for it for the out of the refunds where we can't fund the expenses out of that. So.
Yeah, many times it's fact specific. You patch the roof and it's maintenance. You replace the roof, it's capital.
Right.
So what happens if you patch half the roof?
Yeah, and I think in the circumstance where we're going in and replacing all the lights and putting up new mirrors and putting up new sinks and doing all of that, that I would take that outside of the maintenance category and put it into a capital expenditure.
Yeah.
Councilmember Olson.
I wasn't going to ask any question, but this is just bizarre. 335, page 8. We have a budget of zero. We spent 13.2. 2017, we have a budget of zero, yet a proposed change of 5,000 for a 100% increase.
That's because there was no budget, so it's a 100% increase of $5,000.
Well, if the budget's zero when we spent $13,200, that's a lot of money. I mean, it, to me, 100%, that's kind of deceiving. I realize this is just your
the
stuff.
Percentage is off the budget, not what's spent to date. It's off the budget, so it is completely, you know, $1 is 100% in that sense.
Okay.
So it's only off of the budget of 2016.
Yes, so this doesn't make it any better, but really it should be a 5,000% increase.
Yeah, right. Okay. But I didn't want to put
that's just
in
math.
There.
I mean, it's just
exactly, math. Exactly. And some of these wouldn't even calculate because you can't divide by zero.
And looking, I'm now on the paperclip one where it actually details out that 13,000. Mm-hmm. You can at least I'm seeing the majority of Marquette Architecture. And that's the work that you guys authorized for them for him to do, not only some investigation work at the Pizza Annex, but also I think it's probably also the facility master plan that he's working on.
So the budget is zero, so now you've changed your mind. You want to add 5,000 to it? Where is that?
I think the thought is that some of the work that David King is doing for both those projects will probably continue into 2017.
Then why isn't in the budget for?
That's what I was going to get to.
I know you hate these hard questions.
No, that's actually it's not that hard. the questions aren't hard as the answers. And this is just, I think, a philosophy. Everyone, I think, is acutely aware, unless we bust the entire fund, you don't have to do a budget amendment. But periodically along the way, we ask all of you to consider, and you do approve, brand new projects that were not contemplated in a prior year's budget cycle. So, for example, David King, with the work he's doing on the Pizza Annex and his facilities plan, you've approved it, but we... Mark, I guess, we did not go in and specifically add budget authority to that one line item, which arguably could or should have been done. So in this case, I'm assuming, since Mark isn't here, I'm assuming that since Mark knew that you would approve the expenditures and this detail would kind of remind you of that, and since he didn't particularly see a need, or maybe it just kind of fell into that period when he was gone and we were in the interim period, but the majority of these expenditures are related to expenditures that we talked about, but we just didn't go in and actually take that one line item and kick it up.
When you start rambling, I know that something is, that's just bizarre to me. Absolutely
really
bizarre. If you want 5,000, then put it in the budget.
That's why we're putting five for next year.
There is 5,000 in the budget for this next year.
This time last year, we didn't know that David King would be doing the facility plan and the work on the Pizza Annex. So when the budget was put together in the fall of 2015, we had no reason to add anything to that.
Maybe I'm the one that's confused. The green line says 2017.
Right.
Right.
That has zero in it.
Right.
We haven't passed 2017.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Then why isn't the $5,000 in the green and not the yellow?
The orange part of it.
Pardon?
She revised.
I revised what you
just
last
week. She didn't change anything in the green column. She's
I changed it in the orange.
So we're adding more stuff.
Right.
So that
right
you can see
today.
The change, because if I had put it in the green column, you wouldn't have even known.
It
that
just
would
have been buried.
No, I understand
I
that.
Wanted to
I'm
be
just saying we're still revising the budget.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so this orange column will continue to probably get some numbers attached to it, positively or perhaps negatively, if we decide that some budget should be lower. The example would be the insurance deductible.
Well, it would just help, because when you say miscellaneous, why not just say, you know, facilities planning? And then if you want to do something, because it's something miscellaneous, we spent $13,000, we had budgeted zero on something miscellaneous. And I just.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to have to.
Go up.
Just makes the flight go up, because it's like, why did we spend $13,000?
Yeah, we could.
And I accept your explanation. I just think you could save a lot of trouble if in the future we call things what they really are and stop using miscellaneous very often. Mm-hmm. Unless
sometimes there are certain things that go into miscellaneous.
Okay.
Some of the bars
numbers are, they actually have a miscellaneous, and it has specific items that go into miscellaneous that don't go anywhere else. Now, if you put miscellaneous planning and miscellaneous supplies and miscellaneous, you know, pretty soon we're going to have, you know, you're going to be looking at 200 pages. And it just doesn't, it's not very efficient to be putting every single item as miscellaneous this, miscellaneous that. It's kind of grouped in there. We can get details on it. And there are specific items that go into miscellaneous that just don't have a VARS number for anything else. And the auditors have stated that they are miscellaneous.
As long as, I mean, it will put up flags, because if you see suddenly there was nothing budgeted for it, and miscellaneous makes me nervous.
Miscellaneous, it is one of those accounts that I've never liked, because it is just kind of miscellaneous.
Catch-all. Like, yeah, I don't know where to put this. So.
Right. But it's also a necessary account, because things just don't go fit nicely into every single account.
And eventually, if it shows up enough, it becomes its own line, I would say. Okay. Thank you, Council. Moving on, perhaps.
On page 9 again, so it's stormwater review. Oops, let me see. I'll take a look at the new one. Page 9, the numbers went up. The old page 9. I think it went actually on the page 10. I'm sorry. Yeah, the page numbers are giving me fits. It was professional services. We budgeted 80, spent 132.
There's a detail. You have a detail report on it. And
look up the number.
Top of 9.
Ah.
Oh, yes.
Not the salaries. So.
Yeah, the very first, right. Very first line item on 9.
Emergencies. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, looking at the three pages of detail, the three was all Reichardt, Neve, and Wilson Engineering. These are fees that we charge to the developers for review, and then we back charge the developers. So it's kind of a. And this is one of the things where I think even by our estimation, this year has been a big year for development in the city.
So is this the cost overruns for Washington?
No, they wouldn't be there. That would be in the street fund.
Okay, well, that's what I'm asking. What is it? I'm looking here. I see I see is Reichardt and Neve, so I'm asking which project.
These are private developments.
We have no answer.
Go ahead.
These are all development review for private developments going in. So anytime that a private developer comes in and proposes a new development within the city, they have to produce a stormwater report. So pretty much all the ones that are Reichardt and EV are that engineering support. We do third-party independent review of all the stormwater reports that are generated as part of new development. There's a back and forth that goes on between the design engineer and Reichardt and EV to get those ready for approval. And then they come back to us when they've reached a state that it can be approved, and then we move forward with approving that. And it's typically the last step or kind of the biggest hurdle for developments to get over as part of that development review process is making sure that they're compliant with the stormwater management.
And so these show up as an expense here. There are revenues that are
there's
coming
revenues
from
revenues.
Yeah. This is not just
The costs associated with Reichardt and EV are passed through, and you get your hand.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, oftentimes when we look at revenue, I know this isn't revenue, it's expense, but since it is pass-through, there is that revenue there. That's a positive, and to a certain extent, that's true, but we don't want to see this skyrocketing, because that can either mean that we're really busy or that we're not doing it as efficiently as we could if there's a lot of back and forth. So, a healthy bottom line, it's just pass-through, but we don't want to just say, oh, yeah, you know, they'll pay these high rates.
And to give you an idea of how it fluctuates with development activity and how hard it is to estimate, in 2014, we spent $28,000. 2015, $201,000. And this year, so far, $132,000. So, I mean, it has gone up and down, and it's literally a reflection of the amount of development activity in the city.
So my question is, are we recouping the whole $145,000 through fees?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it is.
We take deposits in advance and when they first come in, and then they work down that balance, and then they replenish their deposits. And we actually we spend quite a bit of time tracking those expenditures and being sure that we actually do recoup those costs.
There is administrator overhead to pay for staff time to track these fees going back and forth. Also, probably about 6 years ago now, we went from what had been a flatline engineer's estimate saying the more expensive or big a project, the more time it will take to review it. That's really not the case, and we went towards a deposit phase so that you can have some really big projects that actually have everything together and it goes through pretty easy, or you have the smaller projects where they don't have their act together and it costs a lot more. So this is an incentive, in theory, to them to have the quick back and forth and to have their stuff together. And that's also where our development standards come in to make sure that we are giving them clear guidance.
So why did you budget $100,000? I mean, it's $145,000 as of October 31st.
It's a guess.
It's rolled it up.
Okay.
It could be. I mean, we are.
It could be 20.
Yeah, we are not in the driver's seat on this unless we get out on the street.
You're just not going to get behind the curve if it comes up $200,000. Like you said, it's going to be a pass through, right? You're not going to.
Essentially with this, we need to look at as the development comes in and then throughout the year. You know, if it comes in over what the budget amount is, we have to come into a budget limit for it. But like I said, we're not the one who's in the driver's seat with this expenditure. It's going to be totally and completely dependent upon the number and complexity of the private developments that come into the city during the next year.
So if we were to change it to 150, we would need to be sure to go on the revenue side and kick up those. So it's a wash.
And that's fine. I just want to make sure. My question was understanding what it meant, and to make sure that you weren't going to get left $20,000 under or something.
No,
okay.
No.
But it's a pass through.
As Lori said, not only is it so when Reichard Nebe bills us for $1,263, they get the bill for $1,263 with an additional add on for our administrative overhead.
Okay.
And this is often a precursor to the building permits that would come the next year, where this is the civil stuff.
Right.
They get the civil stuff done, and then they start building. So,
yeah, a lot of times we think of this as the crest of the wave. If we see huge professional services for the review of the civil, the stuff that goes below the ground, you can assume that the next part of that wave is going to be now they start building things above ground, and we start getting permit revenue instead of professional service, water, sewer, storm, drainage, line review.
Well, no, I wasn't here when you had the large year. I would assume that a portion of that was probably attributable to the outside costs involving the metals. That was going on. So you can see, you know, if that extrapolates out to, you know, we incur a large amount of expense or revenue, depending on which site you want to look at for that development, then we're coming into the phases now where those developments are coming online. So we have phase one of that development that's been platted, and then we're, you know, going to be coming forward phase two and phase three, but it works in a sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the development review tends to be crunched because they want to get the plat recorded and being able to sell lots. And then the revenue for the permits are stretched out as they slowly sell the lots and people build it and then they occupy the homes.
But we also need to remember sales tax we often think of for just retail sales tax, but oftentimes a great percentage of our sales tax is on construction. So our increases that we've seen might be as a result of the Meadows and some of the other subdivisions.
Yeah,
good questions, Council. Should maybe inch forward a little bit.
Did anyone else
have some questions?
Not
Councilmember Watson. You've got the floor.
Okay. Let's see. It was page 11. It's in. Nori, I think this is you. Professional services budgeted for $45,000 this year and for $14,000 for the hearing examiner.
Can you give a line number?
Yeah, I apologize. I'm
always give line,
line number.
453, it looks like.
In the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Thank you. 446 and 453. And I was curious because you didn't use the $45,000 this year. It was only $17,000, but you've upped it to $60,000. And then we apparently didn't use the hearing examiner very much either, but we're going to keep it at $14,000. Are these WAGs, or are you expecting something different to happen in 2017?
Well, so the hearing examiner I'll start with, and maybe Gregor Cirka can add in on this. We have a contract with the hearing examiner wherein we pay him just over $1,000 a month, and I believe that's how we get to the $14,000.
Okay.
And that is intended to pay for appeals and other city-type work, where it's almost insurance in some ways, where if we had an extraordinarily large appeal, which he would normally charge his staff time, or if we had several appeals through enforcement or through other things, we, through our contract with him, pay him $1,000 a month to charge no more than that for our processes. It turns out that for our appeals, we've had fewer appeals than we thought when we went to the global code enforcement, where in most cases people agreed to pay the fines or, you know, resolve the issue. We thought people were going to fight us more. I'm not sure as far as the bookkeeping, if the $14,000 is being paid to him, but if it's coming out of some other source or not.
Because it looks like you've only paid him $1,928 for the whole
we
year.
Yeah, we've paid him more than that. I think that might just be...
Because you've had more meetings than that, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the professional services...
What is that? What is it for you? That's not transpo. That's something separate.
It can be transpo sometimes. Where transpo, we have our on-call, but then we also have professional services that we estimated that we were going to use more for the comprehensive plan. We did most of it in-house with, again, the exception of transpo work for our on-call contract.
Okay.
We also anticipated, through the professional services, I don't see it elsewhere, wetland and shoreline elements, where what we wanted to do, and Sirka, again, correct me if I'm wrong, was in some years, yes, we don't use any of shoreline consultant, or we don't use any of wetland consultant, but then in other words, we do, and to guess, oh, this year's going to be a shoreline consultant year, it's tough for us to know that ahead of time, so what we wanted to do was to try to consolidate the community development related professional services into kind of one group and then go from there instead of, again, you know, saying, oh, shoreline, we take out a shoreline, we give to wetland or we give to transpo and kind of shifting the budget items. We said, well, let's consolidate them together.
And with the hearing examiner, in 2014, we spent $19,000. The next year in 2015, it dropped down to $7,000. So it really does, just like you can't really guess, I guess, how many people are going to appeal their permits or what have you.
I guess money is tight. So we spent $17,000 to date on these professional services, but we're still going to up the budget 33% for next year. So I'm trying to understand, if you didn't spend the 45 this year, why are you upping it to 60 for next year? Yeah. I mean, it's okay if it's just a wag. I just would like to know, because, I mean, money is... You know, we're looking for $10,000 here and $15,000 here so we can do more stuff and maybe hire somebody.
Well,
I don't think
if you
so.
Look at...
No, he was under the executive.
Okay, one at a time.
If you look at 448, transportation consultant, we are pulling that down. And I think that what we were talking about was combined, we spent $125 this year, and we're proposing combined for professional services. I'm looking at 448 and 446. Combined next year, we'd be spending 110, so we'd be drawing down on transpo, but then increasing for the other one. So we'd be spending $15,000 less.
Yeah.
Transpo does still have a number of things that we're asking to do, the traffic lights, lamination, and then also miscellaneous. They are our third-party consultant when we get a traffic study from a private individual. That is a pass-through.
Okay. So overall, you're expecting to spend about $120 on professional services. You've just kind of moved it around from where you think. Okay. I can accept that. And could you find out why the hearing examiner number is so low? That does seem odd. That's why I was confused, because...
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that when we as you know, we can pull detailed invoices based on the account that it was coded to. We also file our invoices by the name of the vendor. So in this case, we'll be able to go into the Bob Inc. file and see where his invoices were charged. So we can come at things from a couple different angles, which is in this case very helpful.
Sounds like a spy movie.
Bob Inc.
Council? Okay. Zika?
Actually, I don't have any questions.
More questions of our finance director.
Question. Greg and I were talking this morning on, now I have to play the line thing again. Under Pioneer Pavilion Community Center.
Yeah, on page 12.
Yeah. Let's see. So it shows that we've spent, I'm not seeing the right number. Pioneer Pavilion, where's the total cost? Well, there it is. Yeah, at the very top of page 13, line 534. So we had budgeted $102,000. We've spent $72,000. So I'm wondering, can we do that kitchen stuff this year? Because theoretically, we still have, you know, $30,000 sitting in that budget.
Yeah, we would need to look, and I don't know if you brought the schedule of cash activities to see what the actual cash balance in the Pioneer Pavilion.
Because I do see a change here that in the gold.
So this $30,000 in the orange, that is the kitchen for this year.
Mm-hmm.
But for, let's see, it should be in.
So line 531, we're not really budgeting $200,000.
No, there was a revision in the orange.
Okay, so it goes from 200 down to 30, which is, I think, a much more. I don't think any of us believe that we could spend $200,000. Well, we could. That we would want to spend $200,000. Except maybe Greg, down at the pavilion.
So does that mean that the 30 that's left this year theoretically is just going to shift to next year, or is this?
Well, what's happening with that? There is a sheet on it. The plan is to take it from solid waste. That was on the decision card, that we take it from solid waste.
And I'm just, but do we need to if we have $30,000 sitting in the line item?
And that's what we need to figure out, is if it's actually there.
Right.
There's okay. This is. You can be either somewhat lazy, like I was 20 years ago when I was a finance director, or you can be rather accurate, like Mark was. Here's one example. What I used to do, because it was easier, is that if the council said in January or in December, you're going to have $30,000, and I'll make this up, in the Pioneer Pavilion Fund, to make my life easy back in the day, I would transfer the $30,000 into that fund. Now, if we didn't spend it, it would sit there.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark's feelings are, and I tend to agree with him, this is either solid waste money or whatever it might be. If the council's intention was probably not to build up a cash balance in the Pioneer Pavilion Fund, the council's intention was to cover the expenses from solid waste, so he would only transfer in 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 times a year the money that we actually spent. So it's a better way to account for it, but to answer your question, if indeed we're transferring in the funds only the dollars that we need to pay the bills, at the end of the year, there should not be much of a balance left over.
But we council, budgeted $50,000 for event equipment and sound system, of which we've spent $32,000, which leaves us $18,000 that we could use to buy some of the kitchen stuff.
Yes, if you felt like that was still inappropriate.
Well, we did the decision card, so we obviously still feel like we should buy kitchen stuff.
Yeah. So we might be able, if that's indeed the case, we might be able to come back to you and say, we have so much money in that fund already,
mm-hmm.
so we don't need to transfer in a full $30,000. We only have to transfer in the difference.
Well, ideally, I mean, even none, because theoretically there's a $30,000. It's $30,000 just sitting in there.
If the full $50,000 was put into that fund at some point.
Okay.
And that's what I'm not sure of.
Well, you can see what council wanted to do.
Right.
And we did not spend all that money. So we
You say if we want to spend it this way,
well, I don't know. It's miscellaneous. I don't know.
That way. So we want to be sure.
I know what I wanted to do.
An example would be in the left fund. We actually put the full transfer into our left reserve fund because our intention is to build up a balance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different philosophy as far as treating one fund perhaps a little differently, because one fund we want to build up a balance. Another one, you may not necessarily want this money to roll over year after year after year and have a surplus build up.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Just a question from an accounting end of the year point of view. If we had $30,000 left over, throwing a number out, could we actually spend it this year, or is it too late to buy the things and get them credited to
you this year's? You could certainly authorize the expenditures, and whether they physically could be ordered and received and paid for this year, it's one of those tomato-tomato. If it comes in next year, we'll adjust the budget next year. The key is, if you want to spend the money in a certain way, we strive to spend the money in that way. The problem, like you say, becomes near the end of the year as to which budget does it go into. If we're talking February versus April, who cares? But November versus February, that makes a difference because we're...
When I worked with Edison, you know, they come about this time of year and say, you've got this much money, you know, the old spend it or
whatever. You better spend it, yeah.
And so, but well, we had to have a physical invoice dated before December 31st. You know, so whatever we bought, we had to make sure that they could deliver it and invoice it before the end of the year. And I was just wondering if this would fall in that same...
We tend to not have our department heads try to spend money in their budget at the end of the year lest they lose it. We really just try to say, buy what you need to buy when you need to buy it, and if it means making a budget amendment in the ensuing year, I think that's a preferable way to go about it.
Council, looking at time, maybe one more question?
Well, I'm curious, since we're kind of running out of questions, do we have to meet Monday? Or can we just meet in committees, and if there's further questions?
One.
And we love you dearly, but honestly. Two more hours with you.
You've had your fill of Greg. Huh?
Oh, my God.
Long time ago. Sounds up to you guys. I mean, it's your, you know, you need to feel comfortable.
Well, we haven't made any decisions about a bunch of the decision cards.
Right. So and we still haven't gotten ourselves out of the current expense fund.
Right.
So okay.
Sounds like we'll see you Monday.
Yeah.
Which okay. I believe is...
I'm not lobbying.
5:30.
You just did. Just saying. Don't try and skip out of it.
So I believe Monday has been notified 5:30 to 6:30?
Yeah. The good thing is, if history is any indication, I felt that 2-hour block was very beneficial because you can really start getting into and not have to stop and remember where you were. So if you're up for it, we are certainly because we want to give you the time you need.
Just bring leftover turkey and we'll be good.
I missed what? 5:30 to 7:30, not 6:30.
Just a reminder, not really a we.
If somebody's going to be someplace nice,
and I will be here. So,
that's right.
So if you have any questions for me,
today and tomorrow,
I suggest that you email them to me tomorrow and Wednesday early.
Otherwise, I'll say circus ad.
Yeah, right.
Is City Hall closed Friday? Are y'all closed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. So council will take a 5-minute, 6-minute, and straight up, we'll start up again.